News out of Cambodia today, ghosts of a 30-year-old brutal government there, the Khmer Rouge, are rising. Early this morning, Cambodian police arrested two key figures from the Khmer Rouge's time in power. Yang Sari and his wife, Yang Tirit, will face charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity. They're thought to be in their late 70s. Question is, will justice prevail? And also, does it even matter at this point with how elderly they are? Erica Kienetz has been writing about the tribunals for Newsweek and the Christian Science Monitor. She's also a staff reporter with the Cambodian Daily, the local English language newspaper in Phnom Penh. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Thanks very much for coming on. What can you tell me about these two arrestees, Yang Sari and Yang Tirit?
Yang Sari was the foreign minister for the Khmer Rouge, top leadership position, and his wife, Yang Tirit, was the minister of social affairs. The arrests are really interesting because Yang Sari was thought for years to be kind of politically untouchable. Many believe the government of Cambodia would never arrest him.
And what did they actually do for the Khmer Rouge? What was their official title anyway?
Well, Yang Sari was the minister of foreign affairs, so he was the public face of the Khmer Rouge. He gave a lot of speeches at the UN. He was also part of the top decision-making body for the Khmer Rouge. And Yang Tirit, she's been dubbed the first lady of the Khmer Rouge. She was the minister of social affairs and was most responsible for people's health and welfare, which wasn't very good during their rule.
Could you just, for people that might need a refresher, remind us of sort of how the Khmer Rouge came about and what allegedly happened during its time in power?
And why the word welfare is an interesting word to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. The Khmer Rouge were a radical communist movement with roots in Ho Chi Minh's Indochinese Communist Party. They came to power in 1975, and they're thought to have overseen the deaths by murder, starvation, and overwork of about 2 million people. That's about a quarter of Cambodia's population at the time.
And it was headed by a guy named Pol Pot, who folks who even maybe don't know a lot about Cambodia have certainly probably heard Pol Pot's name. He died in 1998, though. I mean, wasn't he the guy running that show? Does there seem to be evidence, though, that these people were responsible for a lot of what went on?
Yeah, Pol Pot was the top leader, but everybody who's been arrested, Yang Sari, Yang Tirit, two other people are currently being held in detention by this international-backed tribunal as well, Nguyen Chia and Doik. All of them had top leadership positions in this regime.
Now, I understand that Yang Sari and his wife were living openly in Phnom Penh for some time. That's where they were arrested. You said earlier he was thought to be politically untouchable. Why was that? How were they allowed to just be sort of living there in the middle of town?
Well, that's the mystery of Cambodian impunity. They weren't just living in the middle of town. They have a huge house. They have an expensive SUV. They live in a very beautiful neighborhood of Phnom Penh. And their kids all have positions of power up in Thai Lin, which is one of the last Khmer Rouge strongholds along the Thai border. The reason he was allowed to get away with so much and live with impunity had something to do with the fact that in 1996, when the government was trying to bring the Khmer Rouge into the fold and end these decades of civil war, Yang Sari defected to the government side with about 15,000 soldiers, and he was granted an amnesty at that point. So it was thought that the government, the current regime, kind of owes him one.
Yeah, I read about that amnesty. How does that not apply to what's happening here?
Well, the rules that set up the court made it clear that it's up to the court to decide whether prior amnesties will hold weight as they make their decisions. And I think the basic answer is that politics have changed, and that's made these prosecutions possible at this point. But it will be an interesting legal issue to watch as the court continues with its work.
None of the folks accused in this are young. What is their health, and what are the chances that they'll ever even see the inside of a prison? Are they going to live long enough to see that if they're convicted?
Well, that is a very good question. They are all actually currently in a special prison that was built by the Extraordinary Chambers in the Courts of Cambodia, which is the name of this tribunal. So they're all currently sitting in jail. But they are all extremely old. Nguyen Chia has blood pressure problems and heart problems. Yang Sari has been going back and forth to Bangkok for years to have his heart checked out. And Yang Tirit, recently, her family members came out and said that she's mentally unstable. So health is a big issue. And in fact, at the detention center at the tribunal, the issues they're dealing with are issues of like old people's homes, getting the right food for elderly stomachs, getting a toilet that people can actually use that's not too low to the floor, getting a comfortable mattress.
Is there still a tremendous amount of anger directed towards the Khmer Rouge and specifically these people who are now accused with the sort of Cambodian population at large, or are they just seen as these kind of withered older folks?
Well, that's interesting. I think, you know, people have had to live with this tragedy for 30 years. And you talk to people, dozens, if not 100 members of their family were killed. It's a level of personal trauma that I myself as an American can't really imagine. So they've had to find a way to get on with their lives and cope. At the same time, when you ask them directly about their suffering during those years, people still cry. It still is real to them.
Is there a sense of relief? Have you been able to talk to people and get their reaction to these arrests?
Yeah, the neighbors around Yang Suri's house were all happy. A number of them had family members who were killed by the Khmer Rouge, and they're quite relieved. They say it's about time this guy went to jail. More troubling is the younger generation, because kids in Cambodia aren't taught about the Khmer Rouge in school at all. So you talk to anybody who was born after 1979, they hardly know anything about the Khmer Rouge, and they don't really care that much.
Do you get the sense that this tribunal is going to have power? I mean, I read it has $56.3 million and the backing of the United Nations, but there's also apparently some problems.
Yeah, there are some problems. There have been some serious management problems, and there have also been some allegations that staffers have had to pay kickbacks in exchange for their jobs, which calls into question the independence of the court. But in terms of whether it has power, I think, you know, the UN has a lot of say in the court, but the Cambodian government arguably has more. This is a court that operates within the court system of Cambodia. That distinguishes it from any other international tribunal in history. So it'll be interesting to see that the court needs to make a case for its independence, and it'll be interesting to see how independently the decisions it renders are. But the other thing is, it does have power in terms of setting down an irrefutable version of facts. There's a lot of confusion about what happened during those Khmer Rouge years, and hopefully this court will be able to clarify some of what happened and how it happened.
It would seem that with the advanced age of these accused people, that whether they do time in a sort of hospital jail is almost less important than what the official record is for what happened. I mean, it seems like that would be more important to people.
I think so, definitely. It's also stimulated public conversation about an era that is not talked about very much. I think that's another really positive result that this court could have.
Okay, Erica. Erica Keenetz, been writing about these tribunals in Cambodia for Newsweek and the Christian Science Monitor, and she's a staff reporter with the Cambodia Daily. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Coming up on the BPP, we'll take a look back at the life and career of Norman Mailer. This was the guy that larger than life, that term was invented for.
Unbelievable. Like the New York Times headline about his death said, Norman Mailer, towering writer with a matching ego. It's kind of interesting.
And that
some
was
of
one of the nicer
here.
Headlines about him.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as well as some politics coming up on the Bryant Park Project.